So, Sydney Coffin, welcome to Newsworks Tonight.
Thank you.
So you taught English for 7 years at what many called a failing school, West Philadelphia's University City High School. At one point, it was ranked as the 22nd most violent school in the country, and eventually was given special attention by the district when it was made a Promise Academy in 2010. Recently, you wrote about the experience in an essay published in the Philadelphia Public School Notebook. There, you emphasized the role of building personal relationships as a way to help the school progress. So what are some of the specific things you saw that helped the school change for the better?
Well, I think building those relationships, I think some people really felt a need to cross boundaries and focus on friendships with kids and relationships with kids instead of academics. But ironically, the academics improved once we started to build friendships and relationships with kids. Suddenly the kids were listening to us. They're saying, this guy understands me. He knows me. I can get along with him. I'm going to stay in his class. It wasn't perfect. People still cut classes. People still didn't come to school, but attendance went up. Test scores increased. The kids that I had in ninth grade, by the time they were seniors, were really thinking about college, not thinking, God, I'm glad this is over. Many of them I'm still in touch with to this day. We email to each other. We want to know what each other are up to. And it was because of those relationships that I think the school really transformed. And I hear from some teachers who were there before that there was always this kind of attitude amongst the community that, you know, we're really trying to get better. It's just that there are a lot of challenges in the inner city for a kid growing up to get an education, go on to college, go on to work, and make their life really successful in the city.
So a lot of the change you noticed at University City High School had to do with the principal. What did he do?
I think his willingness to listen to the staff and to trust us and to say, you are professionals. I hired you for a reason. I want you to be here. I want you to teach. I'm going to come in and visit your classrooms, but mostly I really want you to be the person in the room who's in charge. I'm not going to invade your sense of authority in your room and how you run things. We certainly had systems for academics. We all went through tremendous professional development. We were there 6 days a week for the first year. We were there in summer school as well. So that time commitment, everybody staying an hour after school's over on Fridays and then on Mondays the next year, that time commitment, both from him, and from us, I practically lived in that building. Ask my wife. I think I spent more time there than at home.
Despite some gains, the School Reform Commission did vote to close University City High School, and now you're at Edison High School. What are the lessons that you apply from your previous experience now in this school that many say is kind of on the path that University City was on?
Well, I think the main thing I've carried over from one school to the next is that importance of building relationships with kids and making sure that they know that I care about them, that I'm willing to listen to them. They feel comfortable in my room, I hope. I believe that, and I believe that that is the most important thing that we're doing as adults in a building that is primarily young people. I could go through a laundry list of issues that we face in North Philadelphia. Trauma from those issues affects our kids in a very, very concrete and dramatic way. Just 2 weeks before vacation began for winter vacation, there was a triple shooting in North Philadelphia, and several of my kids came in weeping, talking to me aside, staying during my prep period just to talk about, one of their friends had been shot. And kids need to know that there's an adult who's cares enough about them to listen and hear them through and maybe turn it into a teachable moment. Maybe suddenly this kid says, here's somebody, I'm going to go to their class because there's that opportunity to work through things. I'm not a therapist. We certainly need more counselors. We need more social workers. But teachers are the front line, and we need to be accessible to the kids.
What's the difficulty in just, even in normal times, even when there's a good budget, right, getting a kid who's at X low grade level to Y higher grade level as a teacher in a Philadelphia public high school?
It takes a lot of patience, both for the kid as well as for the teacher. Because I have some classes that started out with 33 kids, you're trying to figure out where everybody is, but at the same time, everybody's in a different place. It's kind of like being a doctor, but you have 33 patients. One might have a dislocated elbow. Another might have a slice above their eyebrow that needs delicate stitching. Another one needs a pacemaker. And so you're running around the room doing triage with all these different levels of kids. There's a technical term, differentiated instruction. But it, in many ways, when you have that many kids, it's sort of like, who needs me most right now? But some kids, they get overlooked. And that's the real crime of education when you have that many kids, either in a building as a whole or in a classroom. And I really believe that the simple answer is to reduce class sizes.
That idea, of course, smaller class sizes would end up costing a lot more money, money we already don't have. So is there an answer in here?
I don't know the answer. I believe that is the answer, is to make smaller class sizes. I don't know where the money's going to come from. We need to be preparing kids, and we need to get all the support we need. And that goes beyond money. It goes straight to the heart of just getting society behind educating our kids as the number one priority in our city.
The fact that that's such a big, difficult goal to accomplish, does that grind you down ever?
Yeah, I mean, I lose sleep. I mean, but when I lose sleep, I just go to work more. I mean, I for a while, I was getting maybe 5 hours of sleep a night, and that's probably about average these days. I come home, I take a nap, and I go right back to doing homework. But it's worthwhile. I don't have any kids of my own. These are my kids. I care about them as much as they are my kids because I see them every day. I look at them. I work with them. They're not working for me. We work together. And when I'm an old man and, you know, some of the kids will say I'm already there, you know, they're going to be the ones helping me cross the street. They're going to be the ones who I'm voting for or they're voting for me. They're going to be supporting me.
Well, Sidney Coffin, thank you so much for coming on NewsWorks tonight.
Thank you very much.